Well, hello there. Welcome to another edition of Bantering the Blue Shirts. Directly inside of your ear and listening to Mike type furiously on his mechanical keyboard. My name is Joe Fortunato.
Well, Joe, someone's got to put up the game thread, for goodness graciousness.
The game thread was up, Michael.
Thread. There was them.
On Facebook, Joseph.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Michael, I'll get to this in a minute. This is the second week in a row, actually, we've gone live directly to the air. Blog Talk Radio does not like weird times to start the show. We apologize for beginning the show today.
I
know
the
Rangers play today, but this was the only day that Beth, Mike, and I could all do this week. So we're going to do a relatively short, not necessarily a short show, but we'll do a show probably till about 8:30. This way you're only missing the first period. You're not missing the rest of the game. Or you can listen to us on archive, which most of you do, so you don't care about this at all. But this was the only way to do it this week. So I am Joe. I'm joined as always by Mike and Beth. Mike was eating tacos a few minutes ago. Mike, how do you eat your tacos?
I did something crazy today, which was I did the hard shell all crushed up inside of the soft shell. But it's just, I just do taco
crazy
meat, the soft cheese and lettuce. I don't do
taco
tomato.
Sauce.
I don't know why.
I don't do tomato either, but
yeah.
You enjoy some taco sauce on that, some queso, some melted cheese.
Sour cream? Avocado?
Yeah, I like high school cafeteria taco.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so just cheese, meat, and sauce.
Yeah.
Wait, aren't we doing this?
Aren't we doing? I'm not even watching the game, to be completely honest with you. My TV doesn't work.
We're on a breakaway again.
Did Buchnevich pass the puck to him?
I want
to say that.
Did Buchnevich pass the puck to him?
Buchnevich did do it again.
Excellent. I will now tweet out about Buchnevich, even though I did not see the play. Anyway, Michael, the reason I'm asking you that question is because you've admitted to liking sauce, which is a wet food. So checkmate again. Second week in a row that I've checkmated you. Yeah, checkmate.
I have a big problem with this, Joe. Sauce is not a food. It's condiment. Like, I'm
but
talking meal.
Right, what about queso? Do you like queso?
No, I don't.
Delicious melted cheese?
You
know
again,
you
would not be a meal.
Checkmate.
That would not be a meal unto itself.
It is friggin' checkmate. That's what it is. All right, so the Rangers are winning 1-0. Woohoo. Up until the Flyers game, the Rangers had not won a regulation game since 12/19, so that was a really long time. Mike and
dinosaurs
I very briefly
roam the earth.
It's true. Dinosaurs roam the earth back then as well. Mike and I discussed briefly Ryan McDonough trade outcomes, I guess, or possibilities. Since that podcast, a couple of national reporters, basically Bob McKenzie, Uncle Bob, and Elliot Friedman, have alluded to the fact that the Rangers are going to be some form of sellers this year, which would be the smart thing to do. But, Mike, do you think that, say the Rangers win today, obviously it's a long way to go, but do you think there's a winning streak that could turn Gordon back to the, we're playoff contenders, Stanley Cup contenders, we have to be buyers at the deadline?
It's funny because there was something in my head that I knew I wanted to talk to you about. Like I was going to ask you and Beth, like what sort of a run does this team have to go on to kind of change the organization's mind? And I think it's particularly interesting because, you know, it's Buffalo today and they're a terrible team. And then it's Colorado and then it's the Kings, the Ducks, the Sharks on the road. And none of those games are easy. And then you have, after that, it's Toronto, Nashville, Dallas, Boston, Calgary. And I forget exactly when the trade deadline is, but Calgary, the last game I listed there is February 9th. So there's not easy games here. I mean, Colorado against all odds is good this season. So outside of today's game, or I should say tonight's game, it's really tough. And the Rangers are right now, you know, with that kind of beatdown of the Flyers, which was very satisfying to watch, they're still in the wild card spot. They're tied with Pittsburgh at 51 points, and they have two games in hand. But the Islanders are at 50 points, Philly's at 48, Carolina's at 48. It's really tight. And I'm not convinced that a streak of wins here is likely. And I'm also not convinced that, you know, Gorton will look at like a let's say they go 500 on this four-game road trip here, which is pretty, I think, a reasonable guess with the games they have. So if they go 500, you know, that means they're up to, you know, 55 points, and that puts them in, I think, a pretty clear spot where I think you have to think about being sellers. And I'm talking so much about the schedule because it is important, and because early in the season, as we all know, the Rangers played just a preposterous amount of home games. I mean, right now, it's 27 home games in the book and 18 games on the road is what they've had before tonight's game. So they have a lot of games on the road, and that's not easy. And on the road this season, they're 7-9-2. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Do you think, Beth, that if the Rangers win a bunch of these games, then Gorton will be like, you know what? Screw it. We're not trading anyone.
That kind of seems to be the mentality. No way to be sure. And I mean,
I can
just
see it
Mike, to go back.
I don't want it to happen, but I can see it happen. Yeah.
To go back to what you were saying about how these weren't easy games coming up, I mean, with the Rangers, there are no easy games also, because it just depends on whatever mood swing they're on at the moment. They can beat anybody and they can lose to anybody. It's almost as if sometimes it almost doesn't matter who the other team is. If they win the first two, I think they're more likely to keep winning. I mean, I'm being a little facetious. Of course it matters a little bit, but I mean, especially Hayes is back, right?
I don't think he is tonight. Right? I could be wrong though.
I don't think so.
We are ill prepared to live podcast the game. Ill prepared. I also don't even have the game on.
No Hayes tonight.
Clear. No Hayes tonight. Okay.
Holland isn't again. No Hayes.
So I think actually, Beth, you touched on I don't know what the right word is. Maybe the mystery box that is the East right now.
Misery box.
You have Tampa, who is the clear and away favorite. Washington and Boston are kind of right behind them. The Rangers are going to be in a playoff spot probably regardless. But that's not really the point. The point isn't to make the playoffs. The point is whether or not you can win in the playoffs. Elliot Friedman talked a lot about being, and I believe he called it the dreaded middle, which is a place that the Rangers have lived post-lockout for most of their lives. First or second round playoff losses or just missing the playoffs don't get you high draft picks. The Rangers have complicated that further by trading their draft picks for a lot of years. And you can't live there continuously and expect to contend because you don't have the high enough draft picks to pick high end talent. You're not getting that infusion of youth into the lineup. And the Rangers were kind of savvy about it, getting guys like Kevin Hayes and Pavel Buchnevich in the late rounds and Jimmy Vesey, but there's not enough of that. Kevin Hayes.
We signed him. We didn't draft.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Rangers got around not having picks by getting guys like Kevin Hayes and then using later round picks on guys like Buchnevich. Sorry, I might not have said that first part.
I thought this was more of your bullshit with the wet food.
And that's not bullshit. And Jimmy Vesey.
Wait, what is the wet food issue?
So last week,
right,
Mike was complaining about shawarma, as usual, and he explained that he did not like food that is wet and sweaty, and I explained to him that there are many foods that are wet that are delicious, and what truly destroyed Mike was macaroni and cheese, But I eviscerated him on many other points.
You have this so wrong. The only real exception is Soup.
Oh, Soup was
and
the other one,
yes. Stew.
No, well,
but
Stew and
God damn it, Joe, no one wants soppy, wet macaroni and cheese.
They want gooey macaroni and cheese, which is glistening. Does it not glisten?
I think it's
It glistens
often
like sweat on Rick Nash's brow when he's scoring overtime goals.
Oh, my.
Checkmate. I keep checkmating.
We haven't seen that in a long time, though.
We have not. This is taking a dark turn. Anyway, the Rangers can't live in the middle like that.
Like, what's
only
worse than
so many...
a wet sandwich? That's my real question. Let me finish the thought. What is worse on this planet than like a sandwich where the bread's gotten wet with like juices or like humidity or whatever the hell? There's nothing worse. When food is wet and it's not supposed to be wet, it's a horror show.
That's soggy.
I agree
soggy
with that.
Is different. Soggy is different than wet.
You're wet and soggy.
I cannot believe how much I'm winning right now. It is amazing.
If I threw moist out there, would it just upset everybody?
No, I said moist last week. Moist food is delicious.
How did Mike handle that?
A lot of food is supposed
cake is
to be
moist, Michael.
But moist, my friend, dramatically different than wet.
Well,
I will only eat gravy that I make. Other gravy scares me.
Ooh, gravy's another good one.
That's awful.
What, Mike? We're just not eating gravy
again,
either
that's
because
not
it makes
meal
mashed potatoes.
Itself. That's not a food.
But it makes mashed
potatoes.
You don't
potatoes
say,
you know wet. What I'm going to eat today is a gravy. I'm going to have a gravy. I'm not going to. You don't eat
but,
a bowl
but if
of
you
gravy.
If you put gravy on turkey, then the
it's
turkey is wet,
a
is it not?
Joe.
If you put
now,
turkey on gravy, then the gravy is wet.
Shit,
yes or no? Is the
food.
Gravy wet? Is the gravy wet? Would a Bounty quicker picker upper pick up the water of the gravy?
Is gravy?
If you put the gravy on
yes,
the turkey, the answer is yes. It is yes.
I used a big word that you don't know to make you feel less intelligent.
What word did you use? I didn't hear it while I was yelling at you.
I used the word viscous.
Oh, viscous is bad, bad.
So you're saying that gravy bad on turkey viscous. Is viscous?
No,
not
viscous
if it's good
is
gravy. I don't like viscous gravy.
No. Viscous is the quality of being having like liquidity and being runny and wet, fluid.
No, but viscous is sort of like almost solidifying, right? Like snot is viscous.
Ugh, enough. Ugh.
What
anyway,
were we talking about?
I was saying...
Yeah, the higher the viscosity, the more thick it is. Beth is right. Low viscosity means it's runny.
So you tried to use a big word to win, and you didn't even use the word correctly.
That is about right, yes, sir.
All right, I'm just making sure we're on the same page on that one.
No, I could be eating tacos right now, you son of a bitch.
You could be.
If
you're
Beth
not,
wasn't around,
with us.
You wouldn't have been able to call me on that because she's smarter than both of us.
Well, it is what it is. She's there to defend
Rick Nash me. Nash has 3 goals in 2 games, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway,
I'm really happy about it. And him and Booch together are kind of awesome. I didn't see that very much.
It's amazing when you put Buchnevich with skilled players, isn't it?
Oh,
it's fun.
I'd rather us talk about food than do this whole thing again, where it's just,
hockey,
God damn it. I
Rangers?
Totally understand. No, specifically the mismanagement of assets and why Vigneault refuses to play certain players in the roles that they'll find success in.
This podcast wasn't even really going to be about AV. So don't bring up AV and we won't talk about AV, Michael.
You were the one who you play Buchnevich with skill players.
Well, yeah,
I'm going to kill you with gravy.
Who had an amazing assist on the Nash goal?
I'm going to kill you in front of your wife and child with gravy. That's what I'm going to do. That's my new,
with
my new purpose in life.
At least I'll die deliciously because gravy makes everything better.
God damn it.
Yep, I win again. Checkmate. Anyway.
Beth, you're supposed to help me because he's here.
The
he's fully.
The East is a goddamn mess.
I thought that's what we were going to do. I got all excited. I told everyone.
The East is a mess.
I was like, we're going to live pod the game.
And the Rangers could potentially talk themselves into the fact that they could take the East. That's the fear. I would hope that Gordon is smart enough to realize that if he does try to do that, he's just going to be buying his way into more playoff losses. Tampa Bay is very good. Boston is pretty good. Washington is pretty good. Here's the reality, though. The Rangers aren't very good. So all these teams that you look at and you're like, oh, the Rangers could beat them. Yeah, but they could beat the Rangers, too, very easily. So you can't keep buying your way onto these scratch-off lottery tickets that you never win with. The Rangers have an asset in Michael Grabner, who has, I think, as many even strength goals as anyone in the league over the past 2 years. You could get a first-round pick for him, maybe a first-round plus. Take it. If Rick Nash goes on a scoring binge up to the trade deadline, God willing he does, and you can get a first-round pick for him, take it. If you could trade Ryan McDonagh, and this is really the big thing that I wanted to talk about, despite the fact that Mike is seething, because I have a big story going out about it, but if you could trade Ryan McDonagh for a Keith Yandel-like return, I think you have to take it. And I don't think trading Grabner, Nash, and McDonagh make the Rangers really any less playoff contender, or not playoff contenders, Stanley Cup contenders than they are right now, because they're not really Stanley Cup contenders. And you take all the pressure away of having to win this year by getting youth infused into this lineup that can kind of grow. The only thing that makes it uncomfortable is the Henrik Lundqvist factor. Well, right. So that was going to be what I was going to ask you, and Mike, since you interrupted me.
Yeah, but you're talking too long, and you're mean. You're a bully.
Do you think the Rangers kind of have to abandon Hank here? And I kind of feel like they do, as weird as that is to say.
I don't want
to
talk about it.
Because what an amazing podcast answer.
I'm just watching
I think the Rangers could work their way into contention.
It looks like Smith and Shattenkirk are playing together. That's cool.
I think the Rangers could work their way into contention the next year or two if they do this rebuild right. And I think they're going to be in the exact same place if they don't do anything or if they do it wrong. Beth, why don't you answer that question?
Here's my problem.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I don't want to say anything. I want to watch the game. You say what you say. Fine.
So I'm going to do
Beth
trading for dummies.
A slightly
can
stern
I?
Voice. Yeah. Do trading for dummies. That's what I want to hear.
Okay, so trading for dummies is saying that, okay, Grabner, Nash, and McDonagh can be valuable pieces for somebody else's playoff run. So that would be why we'd get rid of them now instead of over the summer, right?
Yeah.
McDonagh,
it's a really good question because a lot of people, I think, will ask why you would want to move McDonagh this year than the summer. McDonagh has the most trade value. He has the most trade value as somebody who could give a team 2 years of playoffs under their belt with him at the $4.7 million cap hit and one full year. If you trade him this year, you get this year's playoff run and then all of next year. If you trade him over the summer, you'll obviously only get 1 year. Grabner and Nash, I mean, they're unrestricted free agents next year, so they have to – you're not bringing – or even if you are bringing them back, this is the only chance to actually – to get value for them. And you could do an under-the-table deal.
And yeah.
Well, do you think DeArne has value, though? I mean, Holden is value. That's actually, Mike, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that.
Do you think
Holden is value?
Yes.
But why? Because AV plays him on the top line?
I think that doesn't hurt, but I also think people look at him as a two-way defenseman who has offensive upside, who can play both sides. You don't trade to get a first-pair defenseman when you make a cup run on deadline day. It's very rare we see that. Even a team like the Capitals, who traded to get Shattenkirk, didn't put him in that first-pair defenseman kind of role. You trade to be like, you know what, we want our second pair to be as good as other teams' first pairs, and or you say our third pair is going to be as good as the second pair. And I think Holden will fit into that kind of niche for a lot of teams.
And can I ask my other dumb question?
No questions are dumb.
No, they really are sometimes. Like, this is really practically an Emperor's New Clothes question, which is, yes, Grabner scoring tons of goals. Who's left that scores tons of goals?
For the Rangers?
Like, would they be giving up that
on the
completely?
Team?
Yeah, like they haven't been scoring that many goals. Grabner scores lots of goals. Grabner goes away. Is it just accepting that there's going to be nobody who's producing like
well,
that?
Well, this year,
I
think the answer is yes. It's a mulligan this year. If you're going down that road, you're going down the road where the Rangers might not
even
make the playoffs.
Goals.
Which again, if you're doing that idea, it's not the worst thing in the world. I know a lot of people hear that and they get frustrated, but the consequences of being in the middle is just so just destructive to this team's future. And
yeah.
every year that you don't sell off, like I would have sold Grabner last year, and I'm dead wrong that he couldn't reproduce this type of a season, and he has. So it increases his trade value even more. Grabner wants 4 years plus. He probably wants $4 or $5 million a year, and he's going to get it. The Rangers can't really afford to be on the wrong end of that type of a contract. Grabner's turning 30,
yeah.
or he is 30. If you want to have an under-the-table deal with Rick Nash where he comes back for 2 years at a reduced contract, that's fine. You can have that conversation and then trade him off. To answer your question, Grabner leads the team with 20 goals. Zibanejad is right behind him with 14, but he's played in 9 less games. Buchnevich uh-huh. has 11. Nash now has 12. Kreider has 11. Hayes has 10.
And then
Miller... Miller, Vizi, and Zuccarello, or I'm sorry, Miller and Vizi have 9. What are you heating up?
Sorry, that's no. My husband's making dinner.
But I thought Mike was heating up the taco. I was going to laugh. And then Zuccarello is 8. I mean, there's not a ton of goal scoring here anyway. I mean, Grabner's on pace for 40 goals. Zibanejad's on pace for 30, theoretically. Buchnevich, Kreider's not coming back, but he was on pace. These guys are on pace for 20 goals. But the Rangers don't have that elite-level score. And despite Grabner's run, I still wouldn't consider him an elite-level scorer just because of the way he gets his goals. But, I mean, yeah, the Rangers sort of, if they lay up, and we were talking about this in the chat before, if you could give me a William Nylander and a first-round pick for McDonough, I make that move because you make the team younger and you
yeah.
get high-end talent into the lineup. And you need to eventually start doing that. The Rangers need to find teams like Toronto that need to start trading futures for the now. And McDonough turns
mm-hmm.
almost any playoff contender into a Stanley Cup contender. And teams have to pay for that. The Rangers traded
yeah.
their no-question first best prospect, a first and a second-round pick, and John Moore, who at the time was a serviceable 22-year-old defenseman who just played in every single game leading up to the Rangers Stanley Cup run for Keith Yandel. If the Rangers can get that type of a return for McDonough, as much as you may emotionally be uncomfortable with trading him, you really don't have a choice because you need that talent infusion. Now, the difference from the example
yeah.
I gave in that is a guy like Nylander or Mitch Marner, who we were talking about, are far more established than John Moore or Anthony Duclair were. But if you can get them in a first-round pick, or one of them in a first-round pick, I don't see any way you can say no. Mike, could you say no to that?
Can I say no
Mike?
To McDonough for Nylander or Marner?
Nylander in a first, say. Or even Nylander in a second.
I don't think so. I know that there's a lot of factors at play there. The first being that you'd have to, after this season, Nylander's an RFA. So more or less, you have to just – he is 21, though, so there's a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of leeway with negotiation with him. But that would be – you'd have Nylander, Hayes, and Miller all to re-sign. And while that's not a huge problem, if you're just thinking, all right, we're rebuilding, it is still a headache. And you have to understand, like, all right, you know, we're not getting a guy who has the contract already, like, already set in Nylander. It's a guy you have to negotiate with. Marner has another year after this season, I think, on his entry level. This is the last season of Nylander's. But I love William Nylander. His dad was one of my favorite, like, brief tenure Rangers that I've ever seen play. I would like very much for him to be a Ranger, and the price of McDonough feels like something I'd be willing to do. With that being said, I'd be a lot more comfortable if, in let's say, in the Grabner trade or Nash trade, as hypothetical as they may be, there was a trade where we got a defensive prospect back, because
mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge fan of the non-symmetrical trade where it's we're giving you our top pairing defenseman who's, you know, at the prime of his career now for this young up-and-coming forward, because the Rangers You know, D'Angelo, I think we can safely say, is either a bust or a nightmare waiting to be a bust. And then after him, it's, you know, there's Ryan Graves, who I think is a guy who can make it to the NHL, but you don't want to throw him to the wolves. And like, all right, you have Shattenkirk.
There's no one we're really excited about the way. Yeah.
But what is throwing them to the wolves matter if you're laying up this year anyway? So I definitely see the logic that you're coming with.
I'm talking long term after this season.
But what
unless the Rangers are getting Rasmus Dahlin, it doesn't quite matter. Like if you trade these guys this season, I don't care who you have in the lineup because you might as well just tank, frankly, if you're not going to make the playoffs. And the Rangers go into this draft having all of their picks but the 7th round pick. And we also know that Toronto in the upcoming draft has their own 1st rounder and then 2 second rounders. They have their own in San Jose's. So they have – that might make them feel more comfortable with either trading their first or trading a second because, hey, they have 2 anyway, you know. So there's a lot of things there that fit to me. The problem I have is like, yeah, William Nylander. He's freaking 21 years old. He's great. He's already proven he can play in a top 6 role, even though Mike Babcock has kind of, you know, jerked him around the lineup a little bit, a lot like Pavel Buchnevich, but Swedish and maybe more handsome. No offense to Buch. But the big issue I have is, all right, no McDonough. So not just this year, Joe, in the next 2 or 3 years, who the hell is there in terms of defense? Like there's Pionk, who's promising, Sean Day, but are they ready next season or the season after that?
But let me flip this switch on you. Let me add some queso to this to make it wet and delicious. If you're Jeff Gordon and you know you're trading Ryan McDonough, say you trade McDonough for Nylander and a 1st round pick. Now you have 2 1st round picks and you have Nylander. You're going to trade Grabner and you're going to trade Nash. Assume that you're trading the 2 of them for futures. Okay? We're talking picks and prospects. If you're going down this road, and I know that this is now we're at like, oh my God, you're taking everybody away. You've just moved McDonough to an offensively inclined team that needs help on defense. What if you trade Zuccarello to a defensive team that needs offense and you get a younger defenseman who can not be McDonough, but potentially be McDonough or slot in the top 4 and Shea Shattenkirk Smith and this mystery defenseman, it's not a great top 4, but it's not as bad as Girardi, Stahl, McDonough, and God knows who. Because if you're going to go down the road of trading McDonough, Gordon can actually plan this out. I feel like there was a step after the Stepan trade that either was missed or things didn't happen the way that the team thought they were going to.
Yeah.
So if you're moving McDonough, if you move McDonough, you can get what you want for him. Get the high-end return. Get the Nylander in the first because you're not going to get those players with anyone else. Zuccarello will get you close, but he's not going to get you that. Trade Zuccarello for the defenseman. Move. The Rangers could theoretically trade McDonough, Nash, Grabner, and Zuccarello for first-round picks, all of them. McDonough you think is good enough to have a first-round pick included in the package, as we've discussed. Grabner, I think you're really only
Grabner
getting a first-round pick for
yeah.
Nash.
I think you'll only get
thing.
A first-rounder and maybe a fringe prospect for Grabner. But
yeah,
like
I don't
said,
think
he's up to 20 goals now. Who doesn't give a first-round pick for that at the deadline?
And it's the speed and the defense. It's everything. But Zuccarello, you could ask for a little more. It may not be a McDonough package, but it's a McDonough light. There are a lot of teams that can use a Matt Zuccarello. And if you can get that kind of a defensive prospect
away,
in a second-round pick,
I mean, I get it.
An emotional tie there, but the Rangers could plan this out. They could go from, you know, where they are now to that young, fun team that is a playoff contender next year and slowly, not even slowly, maybe quickly builds that core into an actual Stanley Cup contender. Because if the Rangers go down this road.
My real question for you is, do you trust the current front office and the current coach to pull off this scheme of yours, this plan?
Or am I going to kill you with gravy? If the Rangers trade McDonough and they signal this rebuild, you cannot have Vigneault behind the bench under any circumstances. If you want to let him
finish the year, you're hitting a lot of conditions, Joseph.
Yeah,
if you
want
to let
him
finish
to the scheme of yours.
If Gordon's going down that road, he's going down that road regardless. If in his head Gordon is trading McDonough by the trade deadline, everything is already in motion. You're trading McDonough, you're trading Grabner, you're trading Nash, you're looking for partners on Zuccarello, and you're firing Vigneault at the end of the year. Bring in a new idea. Do I trust Jeff Gordon? I don't know. There are a lot of things that Gordon's done that are amazing, the Brassard trade being one of them. There are a lot of things Gordon has done that have been atrocious, the Stepan trade being the biggest one. So it is a coin flip, but it's better than doing nothing. Beth?
Your coin flip.
Your face is a coin flip.
Joe just said your name suddenly like you're supposed to have an opinion on his rant.
Yeah, I wanted her to have an opinion on what we were talking about.
In front of the net. No, but I did hear what you were talking about.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Mike's question is also my question. We got to put the Hank category back in there. The thing I was thinking as you were talking, which is Nash must know that, like, every single thing he does right now is raising or lowering his stocks. And since he's made pretty clear he wants to stay a Ranger, deciding to score 3 goals right now is either the best thing or the worst thing he could have done.
Yeah, he's punching his own ticket at this point, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's also weird. I wish this was. Are there normal teams, or are all teams weird?
I'm sure if you dig into it all teams are weird.
Well, Joe, I have a good question for you, I think.
I'll accept this question.
Okay. I appreciate that. So Gordon took over as GM on July 1st, 2015. And, of course, we all know that Glenn Sather's still there. With like husky cigar smoked whispers into his ear, you know, just telling him what to do. But since he's been there, we've seen Emerson Edom for Nicholas Jensen and a 6th round pick. So we all know what happened with Jensen. AHL never made it to the big club, and he bolted this past offseason. And of course, Edom was the return on the Hagelin trade. And then you have the Eric Staal trade disaster. You have the Keith Yandle trade. You have Nick Holden for a 4th round pick, which I can safely say, I think everyone can call that a win for the Rangers, regardless of what you think of Holden. You got an NHL defenseman for a 4th round pick. It's pretty good, right? Zibanejad in a second for Brassard in a 7th. That was a win. McElrath for Camper in a 7th round pick. I'm just gonna ignore that trade because it's all just bad. Catenacci for Matt Bodie, AHL level trade, doesn't matter. The Brendan Smith trade, a 3rd and a 2nd round pick for Smith. Another AHL trade, the Stepan trade, and then we saw the Rangers trade Pumpel for Sproul, and then the Rangers acquired Peter Holland for Adam Cracknell. And I listed all the Gorton trades for this point. Only a couple of them have to do with the deadline. And the ones that had to do with the deadline were not necessarily good. I do have, like, the Eric Staal trade, no matter how you cut it, was a disaster. And clearly the Brendan Smith one, which obviously was the most recent, you can look at it as on paper it was good. You know, analytics folks liked it. And I'm kind of curious why kind of people who don't like analytics dislike Brendan Smith. Against the Penguins that game, he destroyed destroyed Ryan Reeves with that hit after Reeves killed Mark Staal. And then he fought the 6'7" guy. I thought Smith was one of those guys who would check off boxes for everyone, but apparently not. But you have the Smith trade, which is that's Gorton's guy. Let's just say it's Gorton's guy. But Vigneault doesn't know how to use him.
Hank just banged his head on the ice.
Great. Thanks, Beth.
Sorry.
So yeah, my point here is, like, what have we seen from this general manager to make you think he's going to successfully execute this trade deadline? And I'm aware of the fact that, yes, he was an assistant GM in Boston, and there's more to the track record than what I'm just saying. But I do have, I think, what are legitimate concerns about, like, the execution. And I think that's always going to be there so long as Sather and Vigneault are still in the positions they're in. Because I feel like, and I think we all do, that Sather still has too much influence on the team.
Well, that was my point, was that Vigneault needs Vigneault's not the coach for a team that's young and rebuilding. It's just not. It's not.
Yeah,
one of his,
I agree.
And, it, yeah. And it's certainly not. I mean, we've kind of proven now that Vigneault's
not. Yeah, you can't bench
everyone in New York.
But
the truth of the matter
is, that'd be
is
funny.
We don't know. I
would like that.
I would like to believe that the Hagelin trade was Sather at the very least. The Eric Staal trade,
yep.
you would hope was Sather in his ear, making him make that move. But really, from then on, it kind of is a mixed bag. And for all the good that like the Brassard trade is exactly what a team should try to do. You sell a guy a year too early. You get a guy who's 6 years younger and is putting up more points than Brassard ever will again. That's exactly what you want. And then the Derek Stepan trade is like a how-to manual for not to trade your number one center.
How not to?
It's January 18th. The Rangers have zero NHL assets for trading Stepan. That's inexcusable. I'm sorry. They should have done their homework on D'Angelo, or they should have gotten, like everybody says, oh, it was a trade for cap space. Go screw yourself. You are not trading your
hey.
Nobody trades their number one center for cap space. It's not. And
very
if he did, he should be fired. He should be fired. You trade your number one center for cap space. What are you, a moron? General manager's just sitting around hitting numbers on his phone until somebody picks up. I'm not dealing with that bull crap. Gordon did it because he thought D'Angelo was going to slot him, because he either did not have a conversation with Vigneault at all, or he hasn't watched Vigneault coach a game in the past 2 years. But I stand by my original point that I made a few, I don't know, 10 minutes ago. I think there was a plan after Stepan that didn't happen for one reason or another.
Yeah,
and that is,
Beth and I agree. We both were like,
that trade got 75% done and then something went wrong.
Right, exactly. Something
They lost page four of the plan. Yeah.
Beth, and by the way, Michael, to answer your question, you should be concerned about Gordon making this type of a trade and executing this type of a deadline, because we haven't really been proven. We haven't gotten like his resume. There's not enough experience there to show me that he's capable of handling this. And maybe he is. Maybe the Stepan trade was, again, maybe there was a plan B that didn't go through and it's a lesson learned. But that's a tough goddamn lesson to learn. I'll tell you that. Beth, your thoughts on the matter?
No, I mean, basically staying the same. I miss Derek Stepan. The Brassard trade worked out. But, I mean, so basically what this all comes down to is one trade that we approve of from end to end in the last year.
Yeah, pretty much. More or less, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's – I mean, when you lay out all the magnificent wheeling and dealing that could happen if they decided to tank and go for trades and pick some prospects. Yeah, it seems like you're asking for a level of calculation that we have absolutely no evidence is there.
Well, they do have a sophisticated stats package that we're not aware of as well.
Yeah, those sophisticated stats.
They did use the word sophisticated, which in and of itself is quite a sophisticated word.
Although the difference is the difference is win now or win later, I guess. What you're talking about, getting rid of Grabner, Nash, Zouk, and McDonough is definitely deciding, okay, fuck it, we're winning later. So that would be a key difference.
Damn
but,
it, Beth,
I mean, it is drastic, but you'd have to think you're not keeping 50% of them anyway. There is reason to believe the Rangers aren't going to be able to keep Grabner and Nash next year. So, I mean, there's no reason not to get assets for them one way or another. The Rangers, again, have played this, we're going to go for a game over and over again. McDonough, yes. McDonough would definitely signal a change in direction from where this team has been in the past. And Zuccarello is the same thing. I don't know which one of those dominoes falls first. If either do, you may just get one or the other. Zuccarello has enough left on his contract that you don't have to trade him at the deadline. You can trade him over the summer. And that's where I think the real plan is. If you move Grabner and Nash for futures, you move McDonough for the Nylander first round pick package, you can evaluate where the team is and move Zuccarello over the summer for whatever it is you need. And as Mike astutely brought up, you may need a defenseman because you're not getting anything back from McDonough. So, and then by then you'd have,
who was the writer who said this week? I don't think it was one of us. If it was one of us, I'm going to be embarrassed, Joe. It may have even been you, that like New York, just reputation wise and like team mentality wise, like doesn't know how to tank. Like it's just not something. And I realize tank is an extreme term. But like you just
Uncle Bob wrote that.
Just as a friend. Okay. So that was Uncle Bob. Okay.
So
that
was like
someone.
A tweet.
And I kind of believe that.
Him and Elliot Friedman both said they don't know if they could see the Rangers going into a full sell while they're sitting in a playoff spot. But Friedman's report came out about a week after after Bob's did, and the Rangers lost a few games that they really shouldn't have after the bye week. And I just think you, as a general manager, it is your job to be – you need to be smart enough to know who you are. The Rangers need to know who they are. And right now, they're not a great hockey team. They're an okay hockey team. And okay hockey teams do not win the Stanley Cup. And all these people who are like, oh, you can't trade everybody. You have Henrik Lundqvist. He could lead you to the Stanley Cup. They're the same people who are going to bitch and moan at Henrik Lundqvist when the Rangers don't win the Stanley Cup. So your opinion does not mean anything to me. Thank you. Come again.
Joe.
Yes.
I have a question for you.
I have an answer.
Toppler. Would you trade Zuccarello to the Senators for Hoffman plus?
Am I also trading McDonough for Nylander plus?
He's very sold on that, Mike. That's all he wants.
Apparently. Well, he wrote that one in his journal.
To Mike's point, I don't think you can trade both Zuccarello and McDonough for offense. I do think
you're
you need to get defense.
You're just saying that now because you want to sound smart again.
It's possible. It was a good. You made a good point. Now I'm taking it for my own.
You know what I thought of while you were talking, Joe, is that change in this organization happens at a viscous pace.
That is
you proud
true.
Of that? Proud of what you did?
That is true.
I've been
that is
sitting
a prize
on that egg
winning
for,
use of viscous.
I'm not going to lie to you.
For,
Hoffman,
10 minutes? 11 minutes?
Hoffman to me is just really Zuccarello. I'm not overly sold on. I wouldn't trade. Zuccarello for Hoffman, I think, is a lateral move, if not a downgrade for the Rangers.
So
no, I don't think I would do that move regardless of what you do with McDonough.
But the difference here is Hoffman's 2 years younger and he's under contract for $5.19 million for 2 years after this year.
Yeah, but – and again –
I'm just throwing – because it's gotten to this point where if you're selling, you might as well sell goddamn everything. Of course, I don't think the
– why are you taking a 29-year-old if you're selling?
It's a 28-year-old.
Well, why are you taking a 28-year-old?
Because it's the issue of he has another year on the contract. And if you're shaking things up, you might as well shake things up. I just threw Hoffman out there because he's been a name attached to rumors. I don't think Zuccarello would ever go in like a lateral move like that. But the point I was trying to make is we're trying to think of, you know, if you accept that these are the guys who will be traded, I would love to think that the Rangers say, we're getting picks and prospects, that's what we're doing. But I don't think that's the way this front office operates. I don't think they'll say, we're going to rebuild with youth. I think they're going to be tempted to make these moves, like Hoffman, and like last week I brought up Pacioretty, because I think this is kind of like the MO of this organization. They don't want to say, you know what, we're rebuilding. I think there's a vintage
that
thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it was so exciting, this Zibanejad thing, because holy shit, he's so young, and he's a DJ, and he dyes his hair. But you know what? We don't have a lot of other examples like that. In fact, time and again, we see them trade those DJ guys, the cool young hip guys with the fidget spinners and the light-up sneakers.
Well, if your question is Hoffman somebody who Gordon would be interested in, my bet would be yes. Is Hoffman somebody that I would trade for in the current climate? The answer is no, at least for me. I'm not a general manager. What do I know? But I just don't see that.
Obviously, Nylander. You know that much.
Yeah, but and then it kind of depends on where what the plan is, because in my head, if the Rangers go full rebuild, and I think if you trade McDonough for a guy like Nylander, you could start the retool conversation, because you are getting someone who can slot in right away. Then I would want to trade Zuccarello for a top four defenseman. And again, the ask of the return on that is not ridiculous. And then theoretically, you're replacing Zuccarello's offense with Nylander's, and then you're replacing McDonough with this other guy, with this mystery top four defenseman, and that's a clear downgrade. But you're getting
Toronto
all these first
have
round
a young,
picks. And...
a young D prospect that's really exciting, other than like Timothy Liljegren,
Liljegren is the only guy. Is that how you say his name, Liljegren?
I don't know. Well,
I was going to take a wild guess if you didn't say anything.
Jegren.
I can't see Toronto moving him as well, unless it's a McDonough Zuccarello package. You thinking McDonough Zuccarello for Nylander first and Liljegren?
We know who you're talking about.
You think that'll do? I don't know. You're bringing up an interesting like netherworld here, just a different dimension of potential trades.
It just goes back to what I was saying before. Is I'd rather than say if we're trading McDonough, is exciting because I love William Nylander. I even loved him after he tackled Hank and nearly killed him at the World Championship.
It was so cute.
It was adorable, but I was like, oh, don't break him. He's so precious. But my point is like, and I know I've already like rambled on about this, but it is important to think of what's there in the pipeline now that we feel confident about in terms of defensive prospects that are developing. And from what we've seen in Hartford this season, and obviously the Rangers have more than what's in Hartford, but in Hartford you have a team that can't keep pucks out of its net. That's been pretty crappy. It's definitely, you know what, Beth? It is pretty bad. It's like mac and cheese.
I just needed to contribute.
A little too wet. No, I appreciate that.
Runny.
Yeah, like,
see, I think
nothing...
the word you want is runny. Runny is bad.
No, he means wet. Runny. He means wet, and that is why this is a vicious conversation for him. I don't
It'll
like
stick
eating,
to the wall.
But I have to.
No, Beth's on my side. She may not know it yet, but she's there.
She's on my
I don't
yeah.
know. I.
Yes, you like wet food, Beth, because you're a human who has taste buds.
Give me
you
an
like
example
texture.
Of a wet food.
Soup.
Yeah, give. God damn it.
I need an
Other
example.
No, I'm sorry, soup. I'm a big sauce guy. I agree with Mike that sauce isn't food, but when you put sauce on food, it becomes wet food. If you
I
think
like,
a delicious
I like your
pita,
sauces, your stroganoffs, your
what
sesame
about a
sauces,
delicious
gyro, your...
Mike? Delicious gyro. Gyro, however you want to say it. You got some
gyro. In a world without law or reason.
Falafel.
You got some shredded lettuce. You put some tzatziki sauce on it. It's become wet and delicious. Salad with salad dressing? Come on.
Salad is never wet. If salad is wet, you're doing it wrong.
Salad is made of water. It's literally water.
Everything is water then, you dingleberry, if we get into things that technical.
Listen,
I'm not sure that's true.
Beth agrees with me. As uncomfortable as it makes her, she agrees with me.
I just went a tick over to the Joe side.
She's on the Joe side.
Tomatoes, cucumbers, and lettuce are technically
just
basically
pickles. Who
water.
Doesn't
like
that?
I could be eating room temperature tacos right now, you bastard.
You could be.
You
Listen,
bastard.
You brought this upon yourself. I was
That's
willing
a fine
to let it
old
die,
Irish insult.
You brought it back up, and now Beth has agreed with me, and now it's a sad ending for you on this podcast.
I still don't know what Mike thinks of as a wet food, though.
Apparently, Mike doesn't think anything is a wet food.
When I think of a wet food, I think of like a sandwich that has that kind of like too much moisture has gotten into the bread. Or think of, you know, when you bite into a hamburger, Beth. Like last podcast, we said this: you're in a restaurant, you bite into a hamburger, and like the juice spills out and like runs down the heel of your palm all the way down your elbow, and you feel like an animal. And Joe was like, no,
that's
great.
That can be wonderful.
That's great when that happens.
Thank you, Beth. Oh, my God, Beth. I love you so much. I love you.
Sorry, Mike. I'm so sorry. But, yeah, medium rare burger.
Yeah. My God, it's delicious. Juice me up right now. I'm juiced. Juice me up.
In fact, I don't eat – my husband – I ate a burger on the first date with my husband, which was probably how I knew I was going to marry him, because I would never eat a burger on a date, because a burger is a disgusting experience, and that's the way it should be. I want all my juice and all my ketchup, and it's going to go everywhere, and I'm going to need 8,000 napkins, and that's just how it's going to be.
I could kiss you right now. I could kiss you, because you're absolutely correct.
What makes me both sad is that you are the two who have...
Mikey just chose the worst possible example. I'm sorry. I love burgers so much.
You two have created life. You have children, and you're passing on these genes, and I've done nothing, and I refuse to have children. So I understand that I've lost this battle. But I've lost other battles before.
Well, you know, you can spread your message on pamphlets
and
stuff.
My contribution to human life was also wet, so as gross as that is, take that.
For God's sake, Joe, it's a family podcast.
I'm just saying, you brought it up.
No, they're very wet when they come out.
Yes, wetness created life, that's all. And the baby, she's
Ladies
wet, she's cold.
I apologize. I thought this was a family podcast.
Beth said the F word before.
Babies are wet.
I did say the F word, and I'm not even sure why.
She blew it up. But yeah.
Really,
but then
the
there's the other thing. Can I tell
answer.
You the other thing I'm realizing, gentlemen?
What's that?
You can't
realizing
that. Is that I used to actually, and if Kreider and Hayes and everybody were okay in playing, the thing I said about the Rangers being able to beat anybody or lose to anybody, I realized I over the course of this, I don't believe it anymore. I used to believe it. Last year, I believed it. Sometimes.
I believed it last year. I believed it.
I have a good final podcast question for today that Beth just made me think of.
Okay.
Why are you such a son of a bitch?
When I was talking, so assume the Rangers are rebuilding. They're trading Zuccarello, they're trading McDonough, they're trading Nash, they're trading Grabner. Which side of the fence does Chris Kreider fall on as a 26-year-old? Is he young enough to be part
of
the rebuild?
And you can't trade him.
Okay, fair. Assume he's healthy next year and over the summer.
Okay.
Is he young enough to be considered part of the retool, or is he old enough that you trade him? I'm the former. I think he's young enough that you keep him around. You need guys like Kreider.
He'll only be 27. He'll only be 27.
They don't come around
very
often.
And he's 4.625 in the cap. And next season he'll still have. He signed through the next three seasons at a very reasonable cap hit for a guy who you're completely comfortable with as your top line left winger. I don't see any reason why when, like, you're trying to draw that line, like you're saying, of, you know, these toys get to stay, the other ones we're giving to the Salvation Army. I think he's a toy you can afford to keep. And when we're talking just in terms of ages, Zuccarello, who's going to be 31 next season, which feels weird, doesn't it?
It feels very weird. He should be 26 at the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget, he wasn't good enough for Tortorella, so he had to go away and play in the NHL.
God damn it. Neither was Kreider, so they have something in common.
Yeah.
He was so right
about
that.
Yeah, it's Zuccarello, as much as I love Zuccarello, and Adam had a great piece that went up on Banner today about, because it really captures the way I feel, is I understand perfectly that trading Matt Zuccarello makes a lot of sense, just in terms of we're looking at black and white, what's on paper. He'll be 31. He'll be a UFA after next season. It makes sense. But I think in many ways, he means more to the locker room and to the team than Nash, Grabner, and dare I say McDonough. And I know that's somewhat controversial because obviously McDonough's the captain.
I'm not sure it is, actually.
Yeah, But I think Zuccarello is and I'm not a big intangibles guy. I'm really not, but he feels like the glue, not just to the locker room, but to the team in a lot of ways. You know, it's not just winning the Stephen McDonald Extra Effort Awards. It's not just coming back after his injury.
No, he's the heart of the team, I think.
Yeah, he's the beating heart of the team. and it would be a shame to see him go. And in many ways, I feel like, I think the reason I'm so hesitant to even enter the, like, this forbidden valley of talking about trading him is because I'm not sure that I trust the organization, specifically the front office, to trade Zuccarello and to get something back that we can
live
with.
Oh my God,
a
bad return for Zuc would be,
Yeah.
It would be depressing.
I still remember
very depressing.
Trading Brian Leetch and getting Jarkko Immonen back, and Jarkko Immonen not amounting to anything. These things stick around. And Zuccarello is a guy, what more can he possibly have given to this team for a guy who's 30 years old? It's really after Hank in terms of blood, sweat, and tears. And I know everything that Mark.
You know what? I
think
he might even pull a little bit ahead of Hank. What with the losing part of the language center of his brain and everything, just
you know,
not
that's,
as
that's
much
a
in
fair
years.
Point. Sacrificing a part of your noodle is pretty it's pretty significant. Hank has only lost parts of his heart and his soul. I mean,
yeah.
Those things can grow. If the Grinch has taught us anything, if Dr. Seuss.
The heart row, three times too big.
Joe, I'm going to kill you with gravy, and I'm going to do it slowly.
Okay, well.
And I'm just
going to
keep saying, is this wet enough for you? And I'm just going to keep pouring
it down.
Joe,
I have a question for you, though. Joe, I have a question.
Yes.
I know Mike and my answer to this question. But honestly, if you think about the character of the team, and again, we don't know what goes on in the room, whatever it is, I think I just don't know quite where you came down on this. I mean, who represents it to you more, Zuc or McDonough?
Zuccarello. Because Zuccarello is like fun. I feel like if I had NHL, I would want to be like Zuccarello. Zuccarello enjoys every minute. He's in people's faces. He does the thing. It's not a non-McDonough, but McDonough's very reserved. He didn't even let that smell him at the event for Dunkin' Donuts. when I think of the New York
Much
Rangers,
like
I think of Henrik Lundqvist. And after I think of Henrik Lundqvist, I think of Matt Zuccarello. So, and then third, I think of the fact that I obliterated Mike on the wet versus dry food on live podcast.
Zuccarello is the Ranger we've chosen to be the face of our Facebook page. And I changed it from Hank to Zuccarello, I think. I think that's what I did. And there wasn't a peep about, you know, why is it Zuc now instead of Hank? I hear a baby.
You do hear a baby.
Oh, little person.
A baby who needs to be taken care of. My wife is giving me the end the podcast right now eyes.
Oh. Does Cannon want to say anything? Ask her who we should trade.
She's saying
I'm pretty
right
sure
now.
She's saying everything she thinks right now.
Yeah, she's saying everything
yeah.
that she can. Well, I'll learn my lesson. Thank you all for joining us. I have to very quickly shout out.
You know
Patreon,
who eats wet
Patreon.
Food, Joe?
Dogs.
Joe, you know who eats wet food?
And
babies.
I saw that coming.
Please donate to us. Anthony Viola, John J. Porter, John Reppy, Johnny Alo, Alex Gardner, Eric Cohn, Alexander Ricard, Andrew Chicagoff, Daniel DeGen, Matt Bader, George Littman, Guy from Montana,
George
Andrew Gragos, Link Fleeman, Dan Lynch, Mike Offit, Trevor Kempner, Gabrielle Vargas, Dan Rosie, David L. Singer, Arch Williams, Bob Kawa, Scott Potash, Darwin Pushman, James Dangles, Alexander Thornton, Grumpy Smokey, Igor Zatlowski, Thomas Elsa, Chris B., and Michael Silvers. They all have.
Thank
and
you
they all.
All
eat wet food, so they're better
Thank
than Mike.
You.
All right, goodbye.
I'm not stopping with. Goodbye, everyone.
Good
Thank
night.
You for listening. Good.